The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, damn, week three had some crazy-ass games, including one of the highest-scoring games in NFL history. It was nuts. We'll get to it when we get to it, but let's go ahead and start off with we had the Tennessee Titans at the Cleveland Browns, and Deshaun Watson actually decided to show up. He looked like a okay quarterback. I still expect him to suck because he hasn't played quarterback in like 2 years, and that's pretty difficult to overcome, but he actually had a pretty solid day yesterday, but it really was all about the Browns' defense. I mean, Myles Garrett, I believe he had 3.5 sacks yesterday, so he went off. Just the Browns' defense in general looked really, really good, and they held the Titans to only 3 points on the day. As a matter of fact, the Browns ended up getting the win 27-3. As I mentioned, Deshaun Watson did have a pretty decent day. He had 289 yards passing and 2 touchdowns. And Amari Cooper, man, I mean, I love me some Amari Cooper, ex-Cowboy right there, so I know what he's all about. He's just all reliable. You get him the ball and he's going to make some big plays for you, as he did yesterday. He had 116 yards and a touchdown. And it was the first game without Nick Chubb for the Cleveland Browns, and they were able to overcome. I don't know what it really says, though, because the Titans, this is kind of how they always do as well. They're just, 1 week they're on, the next week they're off. I mean, Derrick Henry had an atrocious game yesterday. So the Browns defense really just held one of the best running backs in the league it was just a bad day for Derrick Henry. But they just really looked good and had an overall solid game, and the Titans looked like shit. Then moving on to the Atlanta Falcons at the Detroit Lions. The Falcons have now crashed back down to earth after their first two games where they had a 2-0 start. I don't think anybody really took them seriously, at least I did not. But they really were not taken seriously yesterday by the Detroit Lions. The Lions got the win 20-6. Jared Goff had a big day, 243 yards and a touchdown. And Jahmyr Gibbs, he also had a good day, 80 yards on the ground. And Amon-Ra St. Brown had 102 yards receiving in the air. And it was tight end Laporta. He also had his first touchdown on the day. So it was just an overall solid day for the Detroit Lions. Their defense had some big, big plays against the Falcons offense and really just held them in check. Obviously, only 2 field goals, one in the second quarter, one in the fourth quarter. You do that, your defense is doing some things. So the Detroit Lions got back on track yesterday. Then a really crazy game, the New Orleans Saints at the Green Bay Packers. The Saints, they were running away with this game. It was 17-0 for the first 3 quarters. And then, unfortunately, Derek Carr, he took a huge hit, landed right on his throwing shoulder, and he ended up leaving the game. Looks like there is no ligament damage or any type of season-ending damage to his shoulder. They're saying this morning that it's basically going to be what his pain tolerance is. So if he comes out on Sunday and he feels like he could play a game, he's going to go. If it's just too sore and he can't do it, then we get Jameis Winston. And you saw what that dude did yesterday. Absolutely nothing. The Saints offense actually just took a complete nosedive after Carr left the game. And in the fourth quarter, the Packers just dug deep and found what they needed to find. And they started scoring and slowly chipping away at this lead. And they scored a touchdown, and instead of kicking the field goal, they actually went for the 2-point conversion, and they were able to cut it down. And so if they scored a touchdown, got the extra point, they would get the win. And that's exactly what happened. The Packers were able to score 18 points in the fourth quarter, get the win 18-17. And Jordan Love so far has not been bad at all for the Packers. You know, he hasn't been you know, amazing. He's not Patrick Mahomes or anything, but I mean, he's really stepped in and got some big wins. And yesterday, I mean, he really had like a signature win yesterday, coming back from down 17 in the fourth quarter to bring them back at home like that. It was a big, big deal for him. And he ended up with 259 yards, a touchdown, and an interception on the day. He also had a rushing touchdown as well. And then on the opposite side of the field, Chris Olave. I expected this guy to have a good season for the Saints, and so far he's been the go-to guy for both quarterbacks yesterday. Carr has just keyed in on him since game one, and then as soon as Winston got in the game yesterday, he made sure to find Olave, and he's been making the big plays. But unfortunately, the Saints fell just short yesterday, and the Packers ended up getting the big win. Now let's talk about the historic freaking game we had yesterday between the Denver Broncos and the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins scored 70 points. Yes, 70. 7-0. That is only the fourth time that has ever happened in the history of the NFL. By the way, the final score ended up being 70-20. So they won by 50 points. I mean, give it up to this Miami Dolphins offense. This offense, I mean, obviously, they are on a whole other level if they can score 70 points. First of all, not only did they score 70 points, they became the first team ever to score 70 points and have 700 yards on offense. First team ever. Also, first team ever to score 10 offensive touchdowns in one game. Insane. Tua Tagovailoa, 309 yards, 4 touchdowns. Their backup running back, Arcane, 203 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mostert had a few touchdowns as well. Tyreek Hill, 157 yards, a touchdown. Oh, by the way, in the fourth quarter, they brought their backups in who kept on scoring. I mean, listen to the stat line. First quarter, scored 14 points. Second quarter, 21. Third quarter, 14. Fourth quarter, 21. This team could not be stopped. Now, not trying to take anything away from the Dolphins because they put on a clinic. When you put up 70 points, that's the real deal. That ain't no accident. That just doesn't happen by chance. You can't wish on a magic star and get 70 points. No, you got to be a good-ass motherfucking team to drop 70 points. Turning to the other side of the field, though, the Denver Broncos, could their season get worse? I mean, they've been struggling. And they've had their moments where they've been able to at least keep their first two games close. They just barely lost those games. This game, it wasn't even close yesterday. And they actually quit in the second half. They weren't even trying. And Sean Payton, of course, was completely embarrassed. I mean, everybody on that Denver Broncos team should be embarrassed. Every fan should be embarrassed. You know, I'm upset that my Cowboys got their asses beat by the Cardinals yesterday, but at least they did not get beat by 50 points. Getting beat by 50 points, allowing a team to score 70 points on you, that is just unacceptable. I mean, I know this league is leaning towards offense. They make all the rules in favor of the offense. They want high-scoring shit like this. But to lose by 50 points, that just says a lot about you and your team. So the Broncos have a lot of soul-searching to do today. The Dolphins, on the other hand, flying sky high. I don't know who the hell's going to be able to stop this offense. You do have to remember, though, last season they started off just like this, hot as a motherfucker. And then the injuries started rolling in, and shit got crazy. So we'll see if they're going to be able to maintain this for the entire season. But right now, this Dolphins offense is just on a whole other level, and that was amazing. I didn't watch this game, but I had the score up on my computer screen so I could see what's going on with all the other games. And I'm watching the score on this, and when it gets in the 50s, I'm like, okay, that's it. Then it goes to 56. I'm like, okay, that's in it. Then it starts getting into the 60s. I'm like, are they ever going to stop scoring? And they might actually have just scored another touchdown as I spoke. So I don't know what the fuck, but that was a pathetic game from the Broncos. But fantastic A-plus game from the Miami Dolphins. Then another good game, Los Angeles Chargers at the Minnesota Vikings. This was exactly what we expected. Back and forth the whole way, and then it ended as we expected. Kirk Cousins had the opportunity to get his team in. He got him in scoring position, had the opportunity to score the touchdown. Well, of course, Kirk Cousins threw an interception, and that's how the game ended. And the Chargers walked away with the big win, 28-24. Justin Herbert had a phenomenal day, 405 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Keenan Allen had 215 yards as well. And then Mike Williams had a great day as well. He had over 100 yards, but unfortunately, he tore his ACL in that game and is out for the rest of the season. Then on the Minnesota Vikings side of things here, Alexander Mattison, he actually finally stepped up in a game, had 93 yards, but it was not enough for the Vikings. They did what they do. They choked hard. I watched the end of this game, and I watched their last drive, and just, I knew they were not going to score. I could just tell. I even said prior to Cousins throwing the interception, I was like, I guarantee you, Cousins is going to fuck this up somehow. And guess what? Cousins fucked it up somehow. Vikings are 0-3. Chargers are 1-2. They really needed that win. I don't know what's the Vikings are going to do. They got a lot of soul searching to do as well. It is still early in the season, but man, they got their work cut out for them because, you know, Packers not looking terrible. Lions not looking terrible. Bears, on the other hand, looking very terrible. We'll get to them in just a bit here. But let's first talk about the New England Patriots at the New York Jets. The Patriots did what the Patriots do. Beat up the Jets for what now, the 15th time in a row? Yeah, they won 15-10. It was a very, very, very ugly game. This is the game I was watching. And man, like, the New England Patriots defense is really damn good. Their offense, on the other hand, it's so bad. It is so hard to watch. They just can't get anything going. And when they start getting going, then they just hit a wall and it's all over and they just have to end up punting the ball again. I mean, it was the exact same thing for the Jets yesterday. I'm just going to say it now. Zach Wilson has no business playing in the NFL. This guy looks like he's my size, for one. I know he's bigger than me, but in my opinion, just looking at him on TV, he looks like he's my size, especially compared to the rest of the dudes in the league. He doesn't look like he knows what's going on at all on the field. And I know it's not all his fault, but this just looks bad. I mean, the Jets fans were so pissed off yesterday. It was hilarious. They were, you know, doing the crowd shots as they do. And one Jets fan got so mad, his false teeth, like, fell out of his mouth as he was, like, yelling. So that's how bad it was to be a Jets fan yesterday. I mean, it's got to be annoying to lose to the Patriots this many times in a row. And, you know, you at least had a shot yesterday to beat them. And the Jets actually did have one good drive down the field in the fourth quarter, but it was just so bad yesterday. And then Zach Wilson, you know, he was sacked in the end zone for a safety on just a really bad play. It looked like, because, you know, the drive beforehand, they scored a touchdown. And, you know, they're thinking, oh, maybe little Zachary's got it going on, guys. No, Zachary did not have it going on. The following drive, he just got completely smashed in the end zone for a safety by Matthew Judon. And it was just a bad game. The Jets, I'm going to say it right now. I mean, I kind of feel like we all knew it when Aaron Rodgers got injured, but it's going to be a long, long season for those New York Jets because I don't see how you're going to climb out of this hole because little Zachary is a terrible fucking quarterback. And honestly, with the way this offensive line plays, because that's another issue, their offensive line is terrible. We all knew that was going to be an issue. When the season began. That's why Aaron Rodgers is injured. But I kind of feel like little Zachary is going to get injured here any minute too because he took some massive shots, and I don't know how much longer he's going to be able to withstand that. But the Patriots did eke out the win 15-10 in New York, but it was hard to watch from both teams. And like I said, that was the game I was watching in the morning, and it was a tough one. All right, moving on to the Buffalo Bills at the Washington Redskins football team Commanders. They fell back down to earth. The Bills walloped the Commanders 37-3. It wasn't close. It was a blowout. The Bills are like, yeah, sorry about you, little new quarterback, a little Sammy Howell. Threw four interceptions yesterday, looked like trash. Josh Allen had a good game, 218 yards and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs had 111 yards. It was just an overall clinic from the Buffalo Bills yesterday. And the Commanders looked exactly what I felt like the Commanders would look like. Moving on to the Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I would call this one of the biggest surprises of yesterday. I mean, yes, it is a division matchup. So it's not surprising that the Texans beat the Jaguars, especially because the Texans actually have the Jaguars' number. So that's not really shocking that they got the win. What's shocking to me is how they got the win. So the Texans won 37-17. It was not close. The Texans just dominated this one from start to finish. And let me tell you, C.J. Stroud is looking like money right now. He's looking like a solid pick. Dude has not even thrown an interception yet on the season. So that is something to be bragging about because he plays, not only is he a rookie, he plays for the Houston Texans. They weren't going to be good this year, but he looks good. And good for him. I felt like he was going to be the best quarterback in the draft this year. I just felt like he was more of a prototypical quarterback. That's no knock on Bryce Young, because I felt like Bryce Young is a good player too, but guess what? He's injured. I had a feeling that was going to be a problem for him because he's not built. He's still kind of small for a quarterback, whereas C.J. Stroud, he's built like a champ. He looks like a quarterback, and he's accurate, and he's got pocket presence, and he can also run, too. Dude had 280 yards and two touchdowns yesterday, and his wide receiver of choice was Dell, who had 145 yards and a touchdown. So it was a big day for the Texans and just a bad day for the Jaguars, who really haven't broken out offensively. For the most part, the first three games have kind of been a struggle for them offensively. So I feel like the Jaguars, that's got to be what they need to start working on, is they got a lot of offensive weapons, and they haven't really performed as well as we expected them to do offensively. And so far, that was not a good game from them against the Houston Texans. Then we had a crazy overtime ending against the Indianapolis Colts at the Baltimore Ravens. Went into overtime. This one was a struggle. It was like back and forth, all the way, obviously, into the fourth quarter. The Colts were able to drive down the field, and they were able to tie it up, send it into overtime, and then overtime was just a struggle between both teams. I was looking at this game like, is this going to end in a motherfucking tie? Anything but a tie. I don't care who wins. I don't care how you win. I don't ever want to see a tie. Ties should not exist in the NFL, but unfortunately they do. So as I'm watching the end of this game yesterday, I'm like, oh no, don't tell me we're going to have another tie. Well, luckily, the Colts were able to put together another solid drive in the end, get into field goal position, and win in overtime 22-19 on a 53-yard field goal from Matt Gay. But Gardner Minshew stepped right in, had a pretty solid game. He did have a really stupid boneheaded mistake where he accidentally stepped out of the end zone for a safety at one point in the fourth quarter. But other than that, it was a pretty solid day for him, 227 yards and a touchdown. Michael Pittman Jr., he had some big, big catches, especially one I can't remember if it was overtime or in fourth quarter, but basically on one of the drives to set them up in field goal position, Michael Pittman Jr. made a huge, huge catch. He ended up with 77 yards on the day. And their running back, Zach Moss, also had a pretty solid day, 122 yards. But this one was just one of those ugly games, and the Colts ended up getting the win. Then moving on to the late afternoon games, we had the Carolina Panthers at the Seattle Seahawks. This one, Andy Dalton ended up starting, and he actually had a really good game. He had 361 yards and two touchdowns for the Panthers. So it wasn't a terrible day. Adam Thielen showed out, had 145 yards and a touchdown. But it was really all about Kenneth Walker III, the running back for the Seattle Seahawks. He was mowing down Carolina Panthers yesterday. You know, I've mentioned it that I feel like the Panthers have one of the best front sevens in the league. Well, yesterday did not look like it. Kenneth Walker III just mowed him down for 97 yards and two touchdowns. And the Seahawks walked away with the big win, 37-27. It was close for the first half, but then the second half, the Seahawks just started to slowly pull away. The Panthers did start to make a little bit of a run in the fourth quarter, but it was too little, too late, and the Seahawks got the big win, and the Panthers are starting the season off 0-3. Then moving on to the Chicago Bears versus the Kansas City Chiefs. This went as expected. The Chiefs stomped the Bears 41-10, as if the Bears season couldn't get any worse. I feel like the three teams right now that are just having like the absolute most garbage seasons are the Bears, the Jets, and the Broncos. And the Bears, you know, this was going to happen. We saw all week what was going on with all the drama, and there was no way this team was going into Kansas City against this good-ass Kansas City Chiefs offense and even having a chance. As a matter of fact, the Chiefs scored 27 points in the second quarter, so it was just a mauling by the Chiefs of the Bears, and it was just bad. Mahomes had 272 yards and three touchdowns. He also got his ankle rolled up on and was hobbling around towards the end of the game. Doesn't seem like it's going to affect them, at least for now, but that's always something to watch out for. Isaiah Pacheco had a big day, 62 yards and a touchdown, and like I said, yesterday's game, Chiefs-Bears went exactly as expected, and the Bears are just reeling. Then the last game of the day, of the afternoon at least. My Dallas Cowboys at the Arizona Cardinals. Oh my God, what a trash can game this one was from the Cowboys. They got their asses beat by the Cardinals, 28-16. They had no business winning this game, even when they were making some runs in the second half, but I could just tell the way this game was going. First of all, I had a horrible feeling once I saw that three of our starting offensive linemen were out. I said, oh God. You know, the Trayvon Diggs I could deal with because you knew that happened earlier in the week, and we knew he was going to be out for the season. But having three of our offensive linemen out, I was like, oh God, this is not going to be a good game from Dak. And it was not a good game from Dak. It wasn't the worst game from Dak, but like, he left a lot on the field. I'm sure when he goes back to the tape this week, he's going to be like, oh man, what was I seeing there? Because that there were so many opportunities, and it's not just him. It wasn't just him. And also, I know a lot of people want to be upset about Diggs being out, but let me tell you, Diggs is not the reason why we lost that game yesterday. Let's start off with like the 965 penalties they had yesterday. That was not because of Trayvon Diggs. That was really because of our offensive line and how we had three new offensive linemen in the game yesterday. So that was part of the reason. Also, our defense played like shit yesterday. We let a crap-ass quarterback run around on us. We let their ground attack run around on us. I mean, they had like 128 yards rushing in the second quarter. So that's how bad the defense was yesterday. We blew a couple of plays in coverage. So, yeah, we missed Diggs in that area. But overall, it was just bad. And our red zone offense was just straight trash, homie. This game is one of those games where it's like, thank God it's only week three. Because, you know, of course, today's media is all over the Cowboys. They lost to the Cardinals. That's horrible. But it's week fucking three. Plenty of time to correct things. That was just a trash-ass game. And guess what? Every team or the majority of teams this year are going to have trash-ass games, including teams that are going to go on to the playoffs. So, of course, it's the Cowboys. It gets magnified, and it was a trash-ass game. They did not deserve that. Even in the end, Dak had this horrible interception in the red zone, and that was not why we lost. We lost because we just failed in all facets of the game yesterday, and it was just terrible, terrible, terrible play from the Cowboys. But hey, man, Cardinals stepped it up and they did not let go. You know, they've been known to start the first half off really well and then just blow it in the second half. This week, they did not. They kept their composure, and the Cowboys, like I said, did not deserve to win that one. They played like straight trash, and hopefully they get their act together because they've got the New England Patriots to come into town. And even though the Patriots suck, don't put shit past Bill Belichick. You can't ever count that dude out. So please, don't overlook the New England Patriots this week. But they probably needed that game just to bring them back down to earth and just show them that they are not perfect and they have a lot of things to work on the rest of the season. And then Sunday Night Football was a total snooze fest from the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Las Vegas Raiders. The Steelers did get the win 23-18, but man, the offense was just so bad from both teams last night. I mean, Jimmy G was just running around and just throwing the ball all over the place yesterday. He had 3 interceptions last night. Overall, you know, he had 324 yards and 2 touchdowns as well. But man, it was just a bad, bad game from him. Devontae Adams was the only shining star, as usual, for the Raiders. He had 172 yards and 2 touchdowns, but that didn't get them the win. The Steelers' defense got them the win. And their offense was just able to hang in there. Kenny Pickett made one of the big plays, big play to, I believe it was it Pickens or I can't remember the receiver because their offense is so weak. You can't remember any of the names of the players on the team, but they did make a big play, one of the big plays, and they were able to walk away with the win in Vegas, 23-18. And we have once again 2 Monday Nighters games tonight. Beginning with the Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Eagles are a 6.5-point favorite. I think this is going to be a closer game than anticipated. The Buccaneers are playing really well, especially defensively. And with that, in turn, their offense is not needing to do a whole lot. So they're getting the scores that they need to get. The Eagles' defense also is playing excellent. They're the reason why they have won the first 2 games in their schedule is due to the defense. So I expect this to be a defensive battle in the trenches between both teams tonight. I don't expect a lot of offense from either, but I do expect the edge to go to Philadelphia. I just kind of feel like their ground attack is going to be a bit too much for the Tampa Bay Bucs defense. And I feel like if they're just going to eke it out just a little bit more and walk away with the win 19-17. And then the second matchup, we have the Los Angeles Rams at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Bengals are a 6.5-point favorite, and it's still on the table whether or not Joe Burrow is playing tonight. They have not announced it just even as of right now. It's 4:28 Central Time here in Texas, and we still don't know if Joe Burrow is playing tonight. So even if Burrow was playing, I was taking the Rams anyways just because I think the Rams are playing better. I think their defense looks really good. And Matthew Stafford's finding his new guys on offense, and they're just making the big plays, whereas the Bengals, they just have not looked good whatsoever. They really have looked in disarray. And if Joe Burrow doesn't play, then they're really screwed. If Joe Burrow does play, how much does that calf injury hinder him? Because a calf injury is not good for a quarterback. You plant every time with your feet when you pass the ball. And Joe Burrow is also a mobile quarterback at times as well. So I feel like regardless, this is going to be a problem probably for the entire season. It's going to be something that lingers. So whether he rests or not, who knows what's going to be the issue. But I have the Rams winning this one 23-14. All right, moving on to the top 10 MLB power rankings. This will be the last Major League Baseball power rankings of the season because this is the last week of the season. We are in the home stretch. So let's go ahead and kick it off. And now this top 10 is really, it's not only just recent week what I'm taking into account, but it's also like the entire season, basically, since it's the last power rankings. So that's kind of what I'm looking at overall is what's going on here. So number one, of course, is the Atlanta Braves. They've been number one all season. Well, except for like the first month when the Tampa Bay Rays owned everything. But other than that, the Braves are the best team in baseball. They are the first team to 100 wins on the season. They are currently 156 on the season, 100 wins, 56 losses on the season. And they've just dominated in every way, shape, and form this season. They're first in batting average right now. Team batting average is .275. They're first in the league with 909 total runs. And it's just, like I said, they're just great at everything. They have so many superstar players. You know, you've got Ronald Acuna Jr., who should obviously win the National League MVP. You got Spencer Strider, who's got a good shot at winning the National League Cy Young Award. He should at least be in the running. Whether he wins it or not, I don't know. That's up for debate. But he should at least, his name should be thrown in the running. Even if it's not, don't fucking matter. I think the Braves are well on their way to the World Series. Now, obviously, you never know what's going to happen. The Major League Baseball playoffs are just always weird and crazy, and you can't ever rely on the best team because it's a seven-game series and anything can happen. But to me, the Braves are easily the best team in the league, and I feel like it's going to be difficult for any team to compete with them in the playoffs. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Baltimore Orioles. I was shocked that I was talking about them at the start of the season. I've been shocked every single week that I continue to talk about them, and they have, I believe, remained in the top 10 every single week this of the season. Maybe dropped out once or twice, but I'm almost positive they've been in the top 10 every week, and that says a lot about them. I did not expect them to even be a good team this season, and what do you know? At this point in the season, they are 97-59. Who would have thought? So they are still playing for their division. Again, they've got a 2.5 game lead on the Tampa Bay Rays right now, but they have clinched a playoff spot. So regardless of whether they win the division or not, they are in the playoffs. This week they go up against the Washington Nationals and the Boston Red Sox. So I feel like they've got a really good shot, unless they have a bad week, at easily winning the division. But I never thought for one second the Orioles were for real up until about after the All-Star break. Now we'll see what happens come postseason, but they've been one of the best teams throughout this entire regular season. Most consistent too, and have won in many different ways. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 96-59. And, you know, they started off the season terribly. I was laughing at them, ha, ha, ha. And then, of course, the Dodgers do what the Dodgers do. They get on a streak, and, you know, they have too many good players to really be a terrible team. They're not the San Diego Padres, so they actually know how to win. And here they are. They are second in the league right now with runs, 869 runs behind the Braves. And, you know, Mookie Betts has had a great season. Freddie Freeman's had a great season. Kershaw's had a great season. So the Dodgers, we'll see what happens come playoff time, because we know that's when they're notorious for choking. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 95-62. This team has really, really been able to overcome all of the adversity. Like I said, this team started off the hottest team in Major League Baseball. They had the best pitcher in the league. They were lighting everybody up, and just injury after injury after injury continues to hit them. Still, this weekend, they had a Yandy Diaz injury. Randy Arozarena injured. Like, they're suffering injuries to some of their biggest players, and yet they're still winning, and they're still in line to win their division. They have clinched a playoff spot, so they're either going to win their division or get in via the wild card. This week, they will be playing the Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays, two division opponents. The Toronto Blue Jays are still have an outside shot at the playoffs. It's looking pretty bleak for them, though, but I kind of feel like, if anything, the Blue Jays are most certainly going to want to take the Rays. They're going to want to get those wins. I don't know so much about Boston, but the Rays do have division matchups to go through to potentially take that division. But regardless, they are in the playoffs and have overcome every single bit of adversity that's been thrown at them so far this season. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings, another team that I've been absolutely shocked to discuss That's because I picked them to be one of the worst teams this season. Turns out they've been one of the most consistent and best. They did fall off. You know, they started off the season really hot and fell off and then bounced back. They lost their division to the Dodgers, but it looks like they're a shoe-in for a wild card spot, and that is the Arizona Diamondbacks. Overall record of 82-73 right now. They do have to finish the season off against the Chicago White Sox and the Houston Astros, so it's not going to be an easy road for them to get that one of those last wild card spots. They have not clinched a playoff spot yet, but I feel like they've got a really good shot at getting one of those last spots in the wild card. But I've been just surprised at how much I've been discussing the Diamondbacks. They have been one of the best teams all season. Like I said, started off really hot, completely fell off the face of the earth, then got it going again. Unfortunately, they lost the division to the Dodgers like a month ago, but they've made a little bit of a comeback, and they look really good right now, and like I said, super shocked that I'm even still talking about the Diamondbacks at this point in time. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings have the Milwaukee Brewers, overall record of 88-68. They end the season at the Chicago Cubs, who have a slight chance at winning the division, but it looks like the Brewers have it locked down. They do have a 6-game lead right now, so if the Chicago Cubs make a sweep this week, then there's a shot that the Brewers will lose the division. But with the way the Brewers are playing, I think they are easily going to win their division. But the Brewers, you know, here they are. They are the team that's more than likely taking the Central Division, which was it's been up for grabs. There's been, I feel like, every team but the Cardinals has had the top spot in the division at some point this season, and the Brewers were able to maintain it and hold it down through the last week. Then at number 7 of my top 10 MLB power rankings, another team that has overcome a shit ton of adversity this season, the Texas Rangers, overall record of 87-68. They end the season against the Los Angeles Angels and the Seattle Mariners, so this is going to be a tough week for them. They have a shot at either the division or the wild card. I feel like they're definitely going to make the playoffs. I don't know if you want to face them, though, in the playoffs. I feel like they're definitely going to score some runs, that's for sure. It's just their starting pitching has been up and down. It does look like there's a good possibility Max Scherzer is going to be back for the playoffs. But with the way the season's gone for the Rangers, who the hell knows what's going to happen? They've just had to overcome a ton of injuries, just like the Rays have. But here they still are. Here they still stand, playing really well. But this is going to be a tough battle for them. The Angels not playing well, but the Mariners still have an outside shot at the playoffs as well. So they're going to be playing to win. And so it's going to be pretty interesting to see how this division winds up, or the wild card winds up in the American League this last week of the season. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Minnesota Twins, overall record of 83-73, and they finally won their division over the weekend. They will be headed to the playoffs as the representative for the American League Central. I don't really believe the Twins are going to be a good team. I feel like they're going to be a one-and-done team. So congratulations to them on winning their division. Who knows? Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I kind of feel like they're going to be one-and-done no matter who they face. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Philadelphia Phillies, overall record of 87-69. They have been on fire. Bryce Harper is getting hot. Castellanos is getting hot. Schwarber's getting hot. So this Phillies team is doing exactly what they did last year when they made their World Series run. So look out for this Phillies team. I feel like they could potentially do what they did last year. While I do think the Braves are the best team overall, hands down, this Phillies team is not one you want to sleep on. They do end the season against the Pittsburgh Pirates and the New York Mets, so they should come rolling right into the playoffs. They have not clinched the spot yet, but I feel like there's no doubt in my mind that the Phillies are 100% getting one of those wild card spots in the National League. And then rounding out the last top 10 MLB power rankings of the 2023 MLB season, the Houston Astros. Not playing well right now. They've actually been kind of falling apart, and it's even questionable whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. But they do have a shot at winning either their division or grabbing one of the wild card spots. They are 85-71 right now. They do end the season against the Seattle Mariners and the Arizona Diamondbacks. So those are not slouch teams. I feel like out of all the teams making a playoff run, the Astros probably have the toughest road to hoe in this one. So, I mean, the Mariners are going to be fighting for a spot, and the Diamondbacks are fighting for a spot. And both teams are good, and the Astros have been very, very streaky right now. They are not playing their top baseball at this current point in time. So I think they're going to get a spot in the playoffs. I don't know whether it's going to be division or wild card. I think they're going to make it, but they are not looking like your typical Astros. So since we're talking playoffs, and this is the last week of the Major League Baseball season, let's just get a look at the playoff position right now. Right now in the American League East, as I said, the Baltimore Orioles hold a 2.5 game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays at this current point in time. The American League Central has been won by the Minnesota Twins, but the big matchup is going to be in the American League West. Right now, the Texas Rangers hold a 2.5 game lead over the Houston Astros. And then, of course, you still have Seattle still there on the outskirts looking in, but I kind of feel like it's going to be more of a wild card position for them. And then looking at the American League wild card spots, right now the top three spots would go to the Tampa Bay Rays, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Houston Astros, with the Seattle Mariners only a half game out. So it's definitely a lot is up for grabs in the American League in this last week. Like I said, East is still up for grabs. I think Baltimore's got it locked down. The West is still up for grabs. That I feel like can go to any team, any one of those three teams, Texas, Houston, or Seattle. And then the wild card, still up for grabs. The only teams who have secured playoff spots would be the Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Minnesota at this current point in time. And then in the National League, of course, the Atlanta Braves won the National League East like 955 years ago. So we knew that was happening, like game one of the season. Then the Central, the Brewers did clinch a playoff spot, but they have not won the division just yet. They do hold a 6-game lead over the Cubs, so I feel like they're going to win the division like any day. But like I said, they do end the season against the Cubs, but I feel like by the time they get to the Cubs, they'll have already won the division. And then, of course, the Dodgers won the West like a million years ago as well. And the National League wild card picture is looking like this right now. We have the Philadelphia Phillies, Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Chicago Cubs all in line for the wild card, with the Miami Marlins only one game out. So we have the National League wild card is pretty much the only battle right now in the National League, because obviously the East and the West have been taken. Central's about to be won by the Brewers any day. And honestly, I kind of feel like the wild card's already locked in as well. I feel like it's going to be Philly, Arizona, and Chicago at this point, because Miami, not a lot going on there. And everybody else who's kind of on the outskirts, they're pretty much done as well. And speaking of done, the New York Yankees have officially been knocked out of the playoffs this season. And that is terrible for them. They were my World Series pick. Not only did I have them winning the American League, but I had them going to the World Series against the Braves and winning. And yeah, that's not going to happen, obviously, because they're not going to make the playoffs. The Yankees have had an atrocious season. And you can't really just pinpoint one thing. Now, pitching, they actually were great pitching this year. That I felt was going to be where they needed to make the biggest improvement in the offseason. That's what they did. And they held it down with their pitching. But wow, offensively, they could not get it going. Now, of course, Aaron Judge had his injuries throughout the season. But wow, this was a bad, bad, bad season from the Yankees. I mean, they barely, this last like month or two, they've been at the bottom of their own division. So that's how bad they've been. When was the last time I've even talked about them in my top 10? I can't even recall. It's been a couple of months, though, since I've thought about the New York Yankees as a top 10 team, let alone a playoff team. But they have been officially knocked out of the playoffs over the weekend. And in my personal opinion, Aaron Boone has got to go. I don't know how this dude hangs on to his job for one more season. The Yankees are fucking stupid if they keep him on for another season. This has been absolutely atrocious, in my opinion, from Aaron Boone. But this season, to me, I felt like was a make-or-break year for him. They didn't even make the playoffs, so that dude's got to go. The results are in. You're terrible as the Yankees manager, Boone. Obviously, you're not the worst thing to ever happen to them, but they didn't even make a World Series, let alone win one. So, and they had the lineup. They've had, they have Aaron Judge on the team, one of the best players in baseball. They've had Stanton, and yes, don't get me wrong, Stanton's had his injury-prone years, but they've had him in his prime as well. They have Cole the past couple of seasons, who's been one of the best pitchers in the league. So it's not like they haven't had really good players to take them to the next level. And then, of course, they've had a bunch of other guys along the way. But Boone, in my opinion, does not deserve another season as the Yankees manager. And if they hang on to him for another year, they get what they deserve next year. Another shot at nothing, because that's what they've done his entire time he's been the manager. That dude's got to go. I think they just need some fresh something as the manager, because they've just fallen short every single time when they've had Aaron Boone as their manager. It's time for something new in New York. And you don't want to waste these Aaron Judge years, by the way. Hell, you don't want to waste these Cole years. Gerrit Cole, Aaron Judge, you want to keep these dudes fresh. You want them. I mean, come on. Aaron Judge is one of the best players in the league. So is Ohtani, and we aren't seeing either one of them in the postseason. That sucks for us Major League Baseball fans. Yes, we're going to get some good players to watch in the postseason, but we're missing out with no Aaron Judge and no Shohei Ohtani in the postseason. But in my opinion, Aaron Boone has got to go. The Yankees need something new to get this franchise going, hopefully in the right direction. But they got a long time to think about it, because the playoffs begin next week. How crazy is that? We're going to be talking Major League Baseball playoffs next week. Next week. Hell, we're only 3 weeks away from the tip-off of the NBA. How crazy is that, y'all? So, yeah. Enjoy the rest of the week of football. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, really. But, yeah, because we're going to have some good-ass baseball games this week. But enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.